Amen.
There you go.
There it is. Did I come on now? Well, I was already on regardless of this thing. I promise you that. It's an honor and, again, privilege to be here. And thank you, Pastor Phil and Teresa, for inviting, Tammy. What did I say? Teresa. Teresa is my pastor's wife. And so it's an honor to be here. And I trust that today would not only just be an opportunity for me to be able to speak into the body here, but that a relationship will start with you. And I believe that God has put a gift in me that is unusual in the sense that I don't always understand what's happening. And, you know, when I got saved some 35 years ago, God did something in me that it still took me all these years to figure out. I've never been afraid of it. I've been blessed by it. The new birth, I've been blessed by receiving the Holy Spirit. I've been blessed by basing my entire life upon the Word of God. I refer to it as the next breath most of the time. It's so ingrained in me that I automatically think that way that it makes me peculiar in the sense that I don't do the things the way the world does them. And Jesus gave me a new way to live, a new life to grow into. And so when you got born again, God did something in you so tremendous that it takes your body and your mind so long to catch up with it that that's the only trouble you're struggling with is what your mind's telling you. Your mind says, God says this, but the world says this. That's where most of our struggle is. Salvation's been settled in you at the new birth. Your spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit that you are now a child of God once you believed and confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And so I have a word already that I didn't think that I was going to share, but I just want to put this word out there for you. I hear the word increase. I don't know, that can mean many things for everybody in here. But if you'll believe it as God's word for you today, increase could be increase on your job, increase in your marriage, increase in your relationship, increase in child rearing. It could just mean that you're going to increase in favor everywhere you go. Amen? And so I know that you need to know a little bit about me besides I'm just a guest speaker. So I want to take just a moment. I want you to catch that word increase, though. I want you to catch that word increase. I don't know exactly where it's going to take me, so don't let all this bother you. This is all for me to refer back to. It's my notes. But Jan and I have been married 32 years. We're both Rhema graduate. We have two children. We have two children just like your children. They challenge our faith. They taught us things that we didn't even know that we could learn. They taught us patience that we never thought we could have. They brought us into a new world that we never thought we'd ever have to. Hey, we have blessed Friday. We have blessed Saturday and Sunday. And some of you are thinking, is every day blessed with you? No, but I'm not going to change my confession because I want every day to be a blessed day. Amen. And so that's going to bring me to my subject. We're going to talk about the just shall live by faith, but I'm going to intertwine the dependency of leaning on the Holy Spirit. And I'm also going to mention and teach us a little bit about the fact that we are created in God's image. And if we are like God, then we got to learn to live by faith. Everything God has done, He did by faith. And He hasn't changed. Hebrews 11 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And in Malachi, God said, I do not change. And He was talking about in the tithes where He said this. He said, I do not change. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about money. I ain't going to talk about your children. I'll talk about my children, and I'll talk about my money. Okay? If y'all can do me a favor, though, the heater is going to wear me out. This heater's already baking me. And so we're going to learn some things today, and I trust that you'll increase in this area of your life for sure today, that you'll desire the Holy Spirit more than you've ever desired a relationship with Him. I want to say that again. A relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about a relationship with Jesus because it's different. Your relationship with Jesus is different than what it is with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe me, just go back and find out how many times Jesus referred to, I do nothing by myself. I only do what I hear, only what I see my Father telling me to do. as a believer, you and I should only come to the place that we do. We say, I'm only doing it based on what God has told me to do. Amen? And only what I've seen in the Scriptures. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So lots of people struggle with the fact they have never seen God. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the thought there is, the more I learn about Jesus, the more I know God the Father. I'm say it again. The more I learn about Jesus, the more I know about God the Father. See, a lot of people stop their walk with just getting to know Jesus, which is a gift. Salvation is a gift to you. Ephesians in chapter 2 says it's a gift that was given to you, that you were once lost and you were sojourning on the earth all by yourself. You ever just feel by yourself? Well, I did for almost 18 years before I got saved in my 19th year of life on the earth. I was always feeling by myself, but I have never felt by myself. Now listen, since I've been born again, have I had the feelings of loneliness? Yes. But I knew Jesus wouldn't leave me nor forsake me because the Word told me that He came and made His home inside of me. It was so drastic that I couldn't, I remember it as today, just like it just happened, my salvation. I'll never forget that. But I've moved on because I've learned about the Holy Ghost since then. I've learned that the Holy Ghost's role in my life was to make me bold and powerful for the kingdom of God and give me the ability to live it like the Scriptures say. Because I've had plenty of people say, well, you're a Christian. You can't act that way. Anybody else besides me ever had somebody say, well, you're a Christian. You shouldn't act like that. You shouldn't say things like that. And you're like, well, yeah, but I'm trying not to. Well, see, I've got lots of I don't do no more since I've been born again. I used to have trouble dipping snuff. Y'all know what snuff is? That's tobacco. That's that stuff you put in your mouth right yonder. And little drips here. You know. But I was only doing what was normal up until I got born again. I was a sinner and I did it good. But after I got born again, I found out I'm a child of God and that I have access to God like I never had before. I started talking to Him like Father. I just started speaking to Him. Nobody taught me. I just started speaking to Him as, okay, everything is cool, dude. And you know, God never got mad at me when I said that. But He began to talk to me about the Holy Ghost and how that the Holy Ghost has been given to me as my friend. And that He'd be my comforter, that He would never leave me. And He would begin to teach me how to live out what has happened in my life. Many Christians get born again and they go their whole entire natural life never transforming into the believer that God has made them because they lack the relationship with the Holy Ghost. Besides your spouse, the Holy Spirit should be your closest friend. And then, from there, you can have others that are your friends. Nobody will be as honest with you as your spouse, but nobody will be as honest to you and truthful to you than the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes the spouse is afraid to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth because she's got to live with you. Or vice versa, we got to live with her, right? And so we're afraid to do that. And so sometimes we'll water down. But the Holy Spirit's job is not to water down the truth because it's the truth that continues to keep you free. See, the reason I'm not back on drugs 30-some-odd years later is because the truth, the Holy Spirit, set me free and continues to keep me free. In Ephesians, I'm not turned to a whole lot of scriptures because I don't feel like that y'all are not familiar with the Bible. So I'm just giving you some taste of some things. Again, I said, I hope we have a relationship later that this isn't just a one-night stand with you. See, I believe in relationship. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to teach me the things of the Bible. Now, as a pastor, people put an undue amount of pressure on me before to resolve their problems, to teach them. And I'm teaching every week as a pastor. I would teach, and a guest speaker come in, and everybody be like, "Oh, I got it, Pastor. Oh, it's so wonderful. They're the greatest preachers. We just had them back." And you're like, "I've been preaching the same thing." You know, and they put undue pressure on me. But see, the pressure that has to be put on as a believer, you're supposed to put the pressure on God to teach you the truth. Because see, as a pastor, I learned as soon as you leave the doors, you're not thinking about me no more. And be honest, I'm thinking about you, but I'm not overwhelmed by you. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just being honest. But I'll tell you, somebody who is overwhelmed with you at all times and who cares more passionately than any pastor, any evangelist, any healing minister, any prophet, or anybody else on the earth is the Holy Spirit. He is more passionate to be your friend than anybody else. Now, one pastor said the Holy Spirit will make you look smarter than you are if you'll just listen to him. I want people to think I'm smarter than I am, but I'll never forget where my wisdom comes from. You know, the practicality of the word, when you read it, it's there. But the practicality of when you're in the midst of the battle, sometimes the word, you're stumbling for words to say. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit can just tell you simply, shut your mouth. Walk away. You know, listen to what the Holy Spirit told me one time. I'm getting punched in the face by a family member over a car deal that he lied about. And I'm this new Christian. And I'm praying, "Holy Spirit, I heard the scripture says turn the other cheek. What do you do when you turn the other cheek? Am I supposed to keep turning my cheeks because it hurts?" He said, "When you hit him, be sure to hit him in my name." And so I draw back and I smacked him in the name of Jesus. And then I had to hold his tongue to keep him from choking on himself. But that individual's never attacked me again as a family member and has gotten born again. But see, the practicality of that, turn the other cheek. Well, sure, I get it, but is that what it really means? Does it mean I become a doormat at work for everybody to abuse me? Do I let my husband or do I let my wife just walk all over me to turn the other cheek? Does that really mean to let my kids just, is that what it really means? If you'll ask the Holy Spirit, he'll begin to talk to you about what it really means for every practical situation, not just a blanket statement. And see, that's what I found out, to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. See, I got to live on this nasty earth that is ran by the devil. Hello? The earth belongs to God in the fullness thereof it, but the world system, the devil's controlling it. That's why we only get good evening. We bring good news to you. Is that what they say at 10 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock? No, they always bring us bad news, and we're surprised by the bad news. Well, you think the devil's going to propagandate good news? I mean, we've had friends share information with us that has devastated us and has hurt us and set us back in our lives. The Holy Ghost has never shared any information with me that has ever set me back. It has always propelled me in every area of my life because he's more concerned with me. And Jesus said it this way in John chapter 16 or 14, right around in there, it said that it is expedient, John, that I go away so that the Holy Ghost can come. And so when he comes, he will speak truth to you. He will show you the things to come. See, God hasn't left us orphans. Amen? I know you feel forsaken at times because I do, but that's a feeling. And the Holy Ghost says that we are to walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Well, see, for the longest, I had to learn what that meant. I began to find out that sight meant senses, five senses. the five sense areas that you and I learn and obtain information from. See, we take in from our eyes, we take in from our ears, we take in from what we speak out of our own mouth. Our taste, feel, what are they? Help me out. What are they? Taste, feel, hear, touch, and sound. Smell. Well, I tell you, if you smell something that stinks, you need to know it stinks, huh? Woo! And so our five senses are the things that it says we're to walk by faith and not by our five senses. But are we supposed to take our common sense and do away with them now that I'm a born-again believer? Well, if you do, you're a defeated believer and you hate the world and you're broke and you're sick and you're upset and you gripe and you complain about everything. Dear Lord, please tell me I'm not just talking to myself. Can I get a better amen than that? You know what I'm saying? We all got those moments. That's a sure way to know that you're not in faith. And see, it's hard to learn that I was a complainer, that I was a griper, and that I was never happy. You ask your children, they ain't going to tell you, oh, Daddy, you're just really griping all the time, because they got other motives, like, we're going to need our allowance. We need you to say yes when we go this weekend and I want to spend the night at Sister So-and-so's house. See, they got motives. The Holy Ghost don't have a motive to tell you the truth besides one motive. That is to bless your life, to change you, to walk in the victory that you read about in the scriptures, that you hear about from pastors preaching, that you read, you hear other friends talk about how victorious it is to be prosperous, how it is to be healed and never be sick again. See, the Holy Spirit's job is to help enforce everything that Jesus has done for you. Remember in the beginning, that when God created the heavens and the earth and it was without form and it was dark, and it says that the Spirit of God brooded over the earth or hovered over the earth. And the minute God spoke, who went to work? The Holy Ghost went to work. That's a whole different lesson there for us. See, what we speak, either the Holy Ghost is going to work or the enemy's going to work. That's why it's so vital what you speak, you got to watch out for. But you can't learn what's important if you ain't communicating with the Holy Ghost. Ain't even a good word, is it? But it didn't stop the Holy Ghost from teaching this country boy. This one that somebody gave up on always told me I was going to die before I was 12. If I lived to 12, it'd be a miracle. Then they changed it after 12 to 14. How fickle are people? Then guess what they did? At 14, they moved it to 16. As I really look back, I thought they just gambling on me, ain't they? But see, I was believing that because they told me I was bad. God ain't never told me I was bad, but he did tell me I am selfish. He did tell me I'm stubborn. He did said I carry the characteristics of a sinner real well, but he had set me free. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil in my life. And that his death, his burial, and his resurrection were all for me. See, the Holy Ghost began to teach me. Do you realize that unless you get friends with the Holy Ghost, that your revelation is very minimal, because it's he, the Holy Spirit, that reveals the truth to you. You can read and read the scriptures, but never break through to revelation knowledge. Have you ever met anybody who been in the church for 10 years and they still don't know that they're saved? They're like, I'm just not really sure I'm going to go to heaven. Well, they have a revelation. They have not sat down and said to the Holy Spirit, teach me what this new birth, this new life in Christ, right? The name of the church, right? Any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, the old world is gone. I've had to spend time and talk to myself and the Holy Spirit, which looks something like this. Holy Spirit, I just don't really understand what this new life is all about. I'm not really sure how to get this into me. I mean, I'm a new person. You mean I never existed before? I looked up the word. It means to never exist before. What do you mean I never existed before? And then I roll over to Ephesians and it says I was without God. What do you mean I was without God? Well, yeah, you were separated from God through sin and spiritual death. See, the Holy Spirit started teaching me all these things. And I realized one day that I had been living almost 19 years without God. Now, I had used his name in vain a lot. I had blamed him for everything, his son for everything. I did it. But, you know, he taught me. He said, the Holy Spirit. And I'm holding this conversation in my prayer time with the Holy Spirit as if a person is present. Because the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's not a spirit that shows up spooky. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist made it real clear. He said, listen, I baptized unto repentance. But Jesus, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You ever wonder what the fire is really about? The whole purpose of fire is to purify, remove the dross out of a substance that's pure. Does it sound like our birth? We are born again, but we still have our bodies, and we still have our stinking thinking. And if we'll allow the fire of the Holy Ghost to set on us, it will purify our bodies and our minds to think with our new birth, with the Holy Ghost. He's done with us. There's a teaching that says that you've received all the Holy Ghost at the time you're born again. And I don't particularly believe that according to the scriptures, because it talks about in Acts, have you been baptized since you believed in the Holy Ghost? Now, here's what I do believe at the new birth. That yes, it was the Holy Spirit who came upon you and brought you back unto fellowship with God and recreated your spirit. And then it's up to you to pursue the relationship. After that, you need to follow God and figure out things. And one of the benefits is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I'm saying a lot and bringing a lot in together, but there's one thing that you've got to remember. The peculiarity about our faith. Peculiar means to have strange and unusual things that cause you to stand apart from all other. Now, you ever notice that when you talk about to almost everybody, they're all Christians? They're holding beer, alcohol, smoking, doing whatever. Now listen, all the things I'm going to talk about are not things that send you to hell. They get you to heaven faster if you're saved, or they cause you lots of hell on earth. Okay? So please don't misunderstand if the person you know that smokes doesn't mean they're not saved. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't confuse that, okay? Or if they curse, that they're just not sanctified yet. They got things that need to be purified out of them, okay? That's not what I'm saying. So where was I? I had to clarify that. The peculiarness. Our friends, all in the world around us, they're looking for something that's different in us. Now, when I first got saved, I'm going to tell on myself just a teeny bit. I don't do this much. But I used to buy and sell drugs, and so I had a pretty good following, people that followed me for drugs. But I got saved, and I knew immediately that I could not do that anymore. So I told my friends that I would no longer sell drugs to them. So where did my friends go? Work with me. Where did my friends go once I tell them I'm saved because I'm a Christian? They left because they were really my friends only because I had what? Drugs. I had what they wanted. So some of them have come back around to show themselves as friends, but they're still a little skeptical because there was something peculiar that took place because I immediately started talking about the Holy Spirit. I immediately said I'm a new creation, that I'm born again, that I don't act this way anymore. That I don't desire it anymore. So I had changed. But the peculiarness that all of our friends in Christianity that sets Christianity apart from all other religions is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because we're saying that God's Spirit comes on us, lives in us, and dwells in us, and talks to us, walks with us, and cares about our money, our kids, our job, how we feel, how we look, how we wear our hair, how we have glasses, and all these things. The Holy Spirit is the most major and most important tool of the church. No wonder the devil has fought it. No wonder our minds have fought it. No wonder why people back away, because it sets you such apart. But the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost did something so unusual. It said he came in tongues of fire, and there was such a ruckus that everybody from all over came to see what was going on. And when the Holy Ghost came and then divided into tongues, on the day of Pentecost, they all began to speak in tongues. But what we miss there is we want to focus that it was tongues. In different languages. It says they began to speak in other languages that they had not learned. They missed a miracle. Something supernatural is taking place. God is even concerned enough about the loss that he starts to have in those baptized in the Holy Ghost with boldness to declare the works of God. If you're just speaking in tongues and nobody understands, it profits you nothing in a public display. But if you speak in tongues in a private display, James says you're building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourself in the love of God. And if you can keep yourself in love, you fulfill the whole entire law. You constantly are filling the whole law by walking in love. Isn't that wonderful that God sums it up in the New Testament with one word, love? And he gave you the tool to put you there, the Holy Ghost. See, to love like God loves is not natural. But either is the super Holy Ghost living in you, talking to you, is not natural. Most people are afraid when you say, "I got the Holy Ghost talking to me." I tell people, please be careful how you treat me, because I'm not by myself. I don't have a problem. I've had people attack my business, and I bless them. Because the Bible says if you bless them, it's like throwing coals of fire upon their head. Plus, vengeance belongs to God. So if they wrong me, just let God handle it. And I'm not saying that he goes and does this, but if you fight against gravity long enough and you want to continue to jump off a 10-story building, what's going to happen? You end up killing yourself. Well, if somebody constantly continues to attack my business, it will crush them. Because God will have to fight for me. And now they say it's like he's got somebody invisible helping him. John's unusual. Well, I'm only unusual because the Holy Ghost has promised to take care of me and my family. See, Psalms 91 says what? If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you declare out of your mouth, you shall only see destruction with your eye on one side and on the other side, and it shall not come nigh your what? How do you think it stays away from you? Remember when the death angel came with the 10 stories of Moses and Egypt, when they were being delivered out of Egypt? They had him paint the blood over the door, so when the death angel came by, it had to skip that house? Well, see, the Holy Spirit stands by my house and by my body and by everything that pertains to me. And when the devil comes, and if I'm in order and I know and I'm believing what God has to say about me, he's standing there with a flaming sword. And when the devil comes, he goes, "Oh, that's one of those homes that's got blood. I got to miss that. Let me go look for the house. I don't know what's really going on." You know, there's some people that sit in church that are beautiful people, but their lives are full of destruction. Their lives are devastating, and it'll make you believe God don't heal. It'll make you believe God don't want to prosper you. It'll make you believe that God does nothing like that, because they're 31 years. They got to be perfect people. They've been there for 31 years. Well, that's not necessarily true, because you can sit in church all your life and never experience the power of the Holy Ghost and never be changed from being born again to being a man of God or a woman of God or a mature son and daughter of God. See, I know you desire to be mature. I know you desire to have the prosperities God talked to us about. You desire to have health the way that God told us. You desire to have all the things of the Bible. But how are you going to get it? You're going to get it by the Holy Ghost. You got saved by the Holy Ghost coming to you. You don't even realize that half the time. You ain't smart enough to get saved. And I say that lightly because I wasn't smart enough. I was in a bar. Where were you? Huh? See? Where did God find you? My wife has the best testimony. My wife's been saved all her life. Bless her heart. That's how people feel. She's missed out on a lot. She's a testimony of the keeping power of the Holy Ghost. To go down drugs. She hadn't had to go down alcohol. She hadn't had to go down the street of being abused. People get all excited about, oh, this guy's got a great testimony. He shot 900,000 people and killed 9,000 families and robbed 900 banks. But look at the saving power of God. Well, I want to say this to you. Look at the saving power of God. And none of you did that. But how greater is it to have somebody who says, I've lived by the Holy Ghost. I've listened to him for all my life. I can't stand it if she's so perfect sometimes. But I've learned that she has the best testimony. I would have given anything to never tasted to you. To never tasted what bitterness would do to you. I would have done anything to want to never be bound by, to the point that I almost didn't get to say I love you before he died. Because of anger and bitterness. But the Holy Ghost freed me from all that. Not just reading the Word, but the Holy Ghost came to me and said, John, your dad can never get saved unless you release him. I was like, what? Release him? Me? Yeah, you won't turn him loose. You got him bound. I'm like, I do? He's the one who abused me. And the Holy Ghost never said, he didn't abuse you. He said, but you're the one holding him captive in unforgiveness. I'm trying to set you free, John. I'm trying to deliver you as I promised. I'm not dealing with your dad. I'm not dealing with the pastor. I'm dealing with you and you and you and you and you and you and you. You see, the Holy Spirit's job is to take care of you, not everybody else. I don't like it when the scripture says, what I see in others must be pressed down, shaken together in my own eye. First, take that log out of your eye before you try to pull the splinter out of your sister's eye. I didn't like it when the Holy Ghost said, the reason you see that in everybody else is because it's like a log in your eye. You think they're all pious. Why don't you check yourself first? I'm like, what? Me? I'm a head usher. Hey, I'm a head usher. I'm going to tell another story on myself and then I'm going to start to close. I'm a head usher. Church of 8 to 1,500 people per service. Just to give you the size of the church. I'm one of the head ushers. On Saturday, an event took place that the devil had been setting me up for weeks to hurt me, to discourage me. And boy, he did a good job. To the place that I decided, oh, you know, that one joint I decided that I would keep, that I didn't throw away when the Holy Ghost told me to throw it away the first time, but I kept it in my closet thinking it's okay. Well, I got depressed. I got hurt. Legitimately hurt. Their fault and my fault. And I went out and I did that marijuana. I got high. And I was at a car wash. And I was washing my car. It was late at night. And the Holy Ghost said to me, you better run. They're going to rob you. And I saw the people go right across the stall. So I threw my wand down and I took off running. Now, I understand I'm high. First of all, some people believe God, you ain't even saved if you've done that, right? No, I was saved. I was just in bad shape. I wasn't even backslidden. Hold on, I know that sounds funny, but listen, we all think backslidden means when we're really trying to do what's right. We call it backslidden. God calls it surviving for your life. And so I ran, and sure enough, I saw them looking for me, and then they left, and I ran back, got my car, and I drove my car home, and I parked it. I went in the house so messed up that I started. And I stumbled, I fell, I hit my head on my mom's coffee table. I fell asleep on her couch. I woke up, and I'm sick Sunday morning. I'm sick. I am sick. Not only because I'm physically sick, but I'm sick because of what I've done. I know that I've grieved the Holy Ghost. I've grieved God. I've grieved everybody. And the biggest voice that was there, the devil's telling me, you, at this time, you've committed the unpardonable sin. God ain't never going to give you new better, and you've gone back on this, and you're going to just, you know how the devil, I'm not the only person that he tries to commit. You're the reason you're sick, or you'll never get forgiveness because you're the one who has the same problem over and over and over. And so I'm all messed up. But I have to go to church because I'm the head usher. And, oh, man, so you get my old sick body out of bed. I went to church. We had a great service. And sneak out of there because as a head usher, you know, you can hide during service and people can't talk to you. They can't look at your face. And so people can tell when you've messed up, you know, but I knew this. So I was hiding, doing all my duties. And so at our church, we have two doors that open up in the auditorium, and then in the middle, there's a booth like that booth right there, the sound booth. So I kicked the doors open because the pastor's doing his closing invitation. And I opened them up right after church. Mass exodus. Everybody's got to hurry up to wherever they're going. So I got those doors open. And I'm the first one out. And I'm going for the door to go to my car because I'm sick and I don't want to know I have failed. Right? Pastor says, there's somebody here who thinks they've committed the unpardonable sin. Well, now, two things going on. I'm a head usher. I need to be in there. The other is, who in the world is that person? Who could be that dumb? Right? So I run back in there, and I lean right back there on the sound booth, and I'm looking. And the pastor says, now, I know God just told me. He's interrupted my service. Isn't it funny? He interrupted the pastor's service, the Holy Ghost. Tells you something about the pastor. The pastor's not interested in just doing what he wants. He wants to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because he learned the Holy Spirit is the head of the church. Right? And so here I am looking. Because, you know, I want to see. I'm interested. Two things. I want to help. And the others, I'm just curious who's messed up. I like to listen to see who's worse than me. Oh, yeah, their sin's worse than mine. Right? Surely it's got to be because I'm John. Sure. Right? So I'm playing that part a little bit. But I really did think that way for a while. And I know it's hard. And so sure enough, the pastor's asking, who is it? God loves you and he wants to minister and talk to you. And so I'm looking, and the next thing I know, I raise my hand, and I'm just walking down to the front. And I'm thinking, what's going on? But you know, my prayer was, Holy Spirit, I'm hurt. I don't know what's happened to me. I don't know if I committed the unpardonable sin or not, because I never, ever don't want to lose what I got. I don't want to lose this. I've messed up. I repent. I don't know what to do. And you know, I walked down there, and I'm going to be honest, I can't tell you what happened from there. I sobbed like a baby. I cried like a baby. Glenn Burgess said I snotted all over his, I ruined his shirt. I cried, so his jacket. I cried so hard. I just bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled. And then during all that time, I forgave my dad. During that whole time, God said, you've released your dad. And was a few months later, my dad said on the phone, I love you, John. I was like, and then I remembered what God told me. The Holy Ghost told me, you let him go. You turn him free. So I had bound up. I had got so hurt that it was unforgiveness holding me back. And it got me to believing that I committed an unforgivable sin when it was simply unforgiveness. And you know how simple it is to get forgiveness from God? If we confess our faults and truly mean that he's right and we're wrong, then God is faithful and just to cleanse us, to wipe away, to give us the power. Where does that power come from? Acts 1:8 says, but when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive what? Power. Power for what? To live this Christian life and do it. See, your increase is going to come by the Holy Ghost. How did you get saved? By the Holy Ghost. He came to you through a person like me that says, God loves you. And then do you notice when that person left, that voice kept saying, God loves you. You should change. See, that's the same call that you'll get every time from the Holy Ghost when you hear about healing and you feel that gut call, or the forgiveness, you feel that gut call, or about doing this change or making this adjustment in your life. You'll have that same call from the Holy Spirit. Why? Listen, why? Because it's He, the Holy Ghost, who can only give you the power to change. See, it's not you. It's not the Word. It's the power of the Word and the Holy Ghost working together. Why? Because the Spirit can change your spirit, but the Word changes your mind. It unprograms you. And the Holy Ghost gives the power to boot up a new thinking and download new data so you can act different. You don't know how many times I, John Rogers, still go through the great car wash of God to change. I constantly get before Him and say, what is wrong? Change me. What I'm asking for is a strong cycle in the washing machine. And then a rinse. Then a spin. And then the dryer. And when it's all over, I'm fresh, I'm fluffy, I don't have static, I don't stink. And people like me. And I have a new countenance on my face. People say, what are you up to? Why? You're smiling, you got to be up to something. I'm just happy. Fruit of the Spirit. I'm just full of peace and joy. Fruit of the Spirit. You know, you'll never have the fruit of the Spirit if you never get to know the Holy Ghost. You'll have the fruit of your flesh because that's just, you got this body until then, but you got to replace it, see? And it comes by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I trust today that I have challenged you to want to grow closer. Just shall live by faith. How did all this start in my life? By faith, started believing God's word. I started believing Him over everybody else. See, faith believes God over everybody else, including what I think myself. Some people would ask Smith Wiggles what he thinks, and he would say, hold on, let me go find out what God says, and I'll tell you what I think. No wonder he raised 32 people from the dead or more. You know, most of us want to go consult with our neighbor. What do you think? Well, you know, the pastor said, okay, does the pastor's word line up with God's word? I'm not giving you license to bash your pastor. But you see, I hope I challenge you to increase and become more familiar with the Holy Ghost. Maybe you've never even been baptized or heard about this. But you know, the first thing you have to do is be born again. Once you're born again, then you're a candidate. In other words, you're clear to go ahead and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Do I have to speak in tongues? No, you don't have to. You get to. See, they didn't have to. They all spoke in tongues, and they got to participate the very first day the Holy Ghost showed up. See, listen to the perception here. The very first day the Holy Ghost showed up, they got to learn new languages that they didn't have to sit down and ask something on the internet to repeat the word 100 times. So they learned Spanish real easy. They learned Japanese real easy. It's all a miracle. And everybody was blessed. And if you study the scriptures, it says when the Holy Ghost moves, it's to profit everybody. The reason the Holy Ghost wants your body well, the reason He wants you to be free from sickness, is because you'll have the ability to talk about His goodness and healing. The reason He wants you to prosper and increase financially is because then you will brag about how God will prosper you. Can I have just 2 more minutes? You know what the difference between why people have a hard time with prosperity is? Because they think prosperity is Donald Trump's money. That's miraculous money. That's miracle money. That's out of the reach of most all of us. as of right now. But what if you think of miracle money as you now make $12 an hour instead of $7? What if you've always been a porter at a car lot washing cars, and now they moved you up to head porter with a $4 an hour raise? Now we're getting somewhere. I used to work for $3.15 an hour. Now I make $150 plus an hour. To me, that's not shabby for 12th grade education that they gave me. Because, see, I had 3 PE classes because I had so much energy. They wanted to hurry up and get me out of school. And then, listen to this, when I got to high school, they figured out a way to get me to go to 0 hour, which meant before the normal kids get there. And then I was out before lunch. Because they figured if they can get me in and out before anything could stir me up, I wouldn't cause trouble. I'm not kidding you. I'm not. I mean, they could do some miraculous things when I went to school. Now they can't even spank a kid. You know, they beat me back then. They called that spanking. I'm glad. You understand? But see, the Holy Ghost took me from nowhere and being nothing to making me something, to understand that rich means to have enough money to pay all my bills and have money left over to meet the needs of others. Now, when you take that, see, we always get this. It's hard by the yard, but it's a cinch by an inch. We always get billion-dollar person talking to us. This is the gold. Well, eating an elephant, ain't it? How are you going to eat that thing? One bite at a time. And see, the devil will tell you, well, if you ain't up here already, then you don't have prosperity. No, 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 devil. I used to make $3 an hour. Let me tell you what God's done for me. Now I make $8 an hour. Now, for somebody like me, I might think $8 an hour, that's great. But don't let that interrupt you. And listen, somebody's going to say something stupid to you when you say that. Well, you think that's prosperity? $8 an hour? Well, it is to you. Because prosperity to them now is $12 an hour. But only the Holy Ghost can keep you from getting offended when that idiot said that. And I've been him before, talking to people, not even realizing it. See, that's the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you, ain't he? He's dealing with you, huh? The Holy Spirit's just ministering to you. That's the reason why you're getting emotional, but it's okay. Because he's talked to you about things he's told you before and promised you, and you haven't seen them. But if you'll press back in, he's not sorry or ever miserable about the fact he's promised you things. He's willing to do those things if you'll make the change. Not your family, you. You make those changes, and then your family will come along. See, increases come to you today. It'll follow you for the months ahead. And you'll look back at this day, and you'll be totally transformed. Even your husband, I'm assuming, correct? Will see a new you. And, sir, the Bible says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. So what does that mean? You have a good thing in her. I want you to treasure her and take care of her, because favor comes to your life and everything that you touch together because of this union. You have favor. God looks upon you because you have a wife. Just the marriage blessing. Don't let anybody else tell you anything different. Bring special favor from God, and you'll get to do things that most people won't get to do just because of your wife. You see, God cares enough about us that he'll come along and shake us with this. But I learned early that the Holy Spirit is my best friend. I love my wife. She is the best God has ever done for me outside of the children. Okay? But she don't understand me like the Holy Spirit does. Sometimes she's grooming me and hitting me with a hammer trying to get me to go this way when the Holy Spirit goes this way. And I had to say, Holy Spirit, we have to get her to hit this way. Because if we don't get her to hit this way, then I'm going to call action in the house, and so are you. So he comes back, and he'll start hammering on her and bring unity. Don't waste time to do what God's asking you to do. Don't let the devil tell you there ain't. And we're not perfect by I could say we argued before we came up here, but we both stopped before we got into an argument. were smart enough to stop the conversation and turn back to something else. That don't come by natural understanding. That comes by being people willing to yield to one another for a greater peace. And only peace can come from God. The devil has no peace for anybody. Right? And we're learning still after 32 years how to hammer it out and how to let the Holy Ghost intervene. So I did that right here just to, so you'll know that we're just like you. We love God. We want to be more like Him every day. We want to be used by Him every day. We want our finances. We want our children, our grandchildren, and all to live in the blessings of God. We are survivors. We have not arrived. We do have the ultimate gift called salvation that came all kinds of blessings with it. And we're trying to exhaust those and squeeze them for everything they're worth. But with love, joy, peace, gentleness, and kindness, we're trying our best to represent God in everything that we do. But without the Holy Ghost empowering us, like it said in the book of Acts, that power, we would just be mere humans trying to exercise it in our rights, and we would fail, and people would call us all kinds of crazy things, right? And so with that in mind, is there anybody here today that has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? You've never taken the time to say, you know, I've been saved, but I hadn't heard about the Holy Ghost, and I'd like to receive the Holy Spirit today. Now, he's a gentleman. He force himself on you. What does that mean? I don't know. It said some, they laid hands on him, they received the Holy Ghost and didn't say they spoke in tongues. And then the next one, they laid hands on him and they said, we know that they got the Holy Ghost because they spake in tongues. See? And so maybe we're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And let's just take 1 minute to pray in the Holy Spirit. You say, how is that? You just simply go, just to exercise that gift. So I think as I'm doing that I asked Pastor Phil how long he's been here. He said 3 years. Well, after 3 days and 3 nights, something supernatural directed the grave, and it's called Jesus with His body. And at that point, there was a breakthrough in history and in Christianity. At the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. People now were available to be saved like they were able to be before. It was all by works. But now it's by grace. I said in earlier, now it makes sense. 3 years, it's a breakthrough point for you to have increase with the community in favor. It's time to expect this place to have more, even though you're satisfied. Even though you love the people here, you knew God wanted you to have more. And so I believe increase, and I'm going to release it and declare to the surrounding areas around here and in the spirit realm, there are those that belong here that should be participating and growing in Christ and helping fund the gospel here. So I call you from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and I say, give heed to the spirit of grace and listen to the voice of grace. And you that have hidden in closets and said, I don't need more, you'll arise and come forth and be a blessing as God has told you to come. And I declare to every demonic stronghold that has held this area down for this church, I break your power and command you to go and no longer be available in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I release the grace, the Holy Spirit, you go. And angels, you go and protect those areas, and that Phil and Tammy can continue to run the race. And Father, I release strength to them supernaturally and a supernatural ability to release the past right now in Jesus' name. The past, to be free from the past. All dismay, all confusion be broken this moment in Jesus' name. And Father, you're the only one that can go in the past and heal the past. So I thank you for doing that. Holy Spirit, go now.
And Father, I thank you that he's changed into that man of power that he's always been, always desired. New plans, new ways, new favor, new blessings, and increase. Who in here is sick in their tummy? Who's sick in their tummy? One, two. Y'all stand up. Just stand up right quick. See, God's doing something. The Holy Ghost always confirms. Nobody even has to touch. Somebody, who is it that can't eat a certain food? Who is that? Is that you? Anybody in here that's where they can't eat a certain food, like maybe lactose? Your wife? Okay. Tammy too? It's amazing. Anybody else? Your wife? No doubt the Holy Ghost had to bring in something, right? So it says in Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. Is that right? Okay. And by his stripes, they have already been healed. They're not even present, but the healing anointing, I send it to their bodies right now in Jesus' name. Receive your healing wherever you are. Wherever you are, take your healing now. And I do it in the authority of the name of Jesus. I say, rise, walk, and eat those things that you couldn't eat before in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the two gentlemen standing right here, I just speak to your intestines right now. Who's got the back problem? Who has a back? Your wife? Do you? Stand up with your back problem. Stand up with your past back problem. Because when I was pointing at y'all and I seen intestines, I saw the spine. And the spine is a part of the body that controls everything. So there's going to be an adjustment in both of y'all's spine. And so I'm smart enough to go ahead and add back healing right here too. Because, you know, if you ever had a back problem, you know, God is the ultimate healer. Chiropractors are good. So if you're going to a chiropractor, don't stop. You'll know when to stop, okay? So I speak to y'all's body. And I command your bodies to line up in the name of Jesus. And I command your spines to decompress right now. And I command all your discs to feel proper. Your nerves to move in place where they're supposed to be right now. And don't matter if it's been from birth or not. I lay hands right here and I command your back to strengthen, muscles to strengthen, deterioration to go in Jesus' name, and you to be filled from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet with a supernatural joy that others are going to want to know what it is. They're going to want to know why you're smiling, and you need to go ahead and receive this boldness as I lay my hand on you, a supernatural boldness to proclaim why you are happy. And if you don't know why you're happy, you need to visit the Holy Ghost and let him tell you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Migraine headaches. Who's having the migraine headaches? Anybody in here? You're getting an overhaul. I told you God was talking to you. I could tell he was talking to you. I could tell. I can tell. Will you trust God in me? Forgiveness is the key to the release of these migraine headaches. Forgiveness is the key. And what does that mean? You just got to say, I don't know who it is, but you just got to say, God, I can't do it. I forgive them. I don't care. I don't care. I'll never hold it against them again. In Jesus' name, I'm free from that. Devil, I'll never allow you to trap me in this again. My healing is tied up into this, and I'll no longer be bound by it in the name. You just say it. You don't even have to say it out loud. Just say, I release them in Jesus' name. And you call them by name. Now, Holy Ghost, I release your love and power and your kindness right now just to visit her heart and to fill it with a peace that surpasses all understanding. And migraine headaches, I command you to go. And you torment in spirit, you'll never come back in Jesus' name. Let's just be still just for a minute. If the Holy Ghost has anything else to say, I know the increase was the very first word, okay? So increase, see, she's increased in her health already. He's increased in their health already. Peace and joy level in here is already increased. But there's tangible places. There's tangible places that God touched that will be able to be seen in the natural. God cares about you more than you care about yourself. And the Holy Ghost will only be honest with you. And whenever he speaks to you, don't confer with flesh and blood at first. Just accept it and allow him to tell you when to talk about it. To realize I was the way I was, I didn't run and tell everybody at first. It took me several months to get used to that I was that bad. But then once I got healed, I became that good. And I became useful. And Christianity was real to me. And has been ever since then. Amen. Pastor Phil, I want to turn back over to you and thank you for having us. And again, I trust that more started here today than just a one time, that we can have a relationship and I'll be able to bless this body again. Amen.
Well, that was really good. Yes, it was. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for giving people a taste of your goodness today. This is why we do things. This is why the word says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. Because we get around other people, we help one another, and someone will say, you know, it seems like God wants to heal this in you, or it seems like God wants to deliver you of this. This is why, Lord, this is why. And so we thank you, Father, for your blessings. I ask, Lord, that those things that were spoken forth today by Brother John would begin to take root and begin to grow and increase even more. And we thank you, Father, and praise you. Lord, I ask you, bless everyone as they go. Keep them safe throughout the week. Bring us all back safely. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, well, I suppose you're all dismissed.